Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look at the first three verses together this morning. This whole passage, verses 1 through 10, it continues with the practical instruction from Paul regarding our conduct as believers. And so you could see five divisions here looking at it in that way. It's children toward their parents. It's parents toward their children. It's servants or employees. It's masters or employers. And finally, he addresses all believers in verse 10. But as we've seen previously when we were looking at husbands and wives, we saw how ultimately the instruction concerns the Christ and his church, Christ and his bride. And so for each of us, as we go through these divisions, don't tune it out just because you may not think this is speaking to you, but rather there's something for all of us to hear and be instructed and comforted in, because we see the gospel, we see our Savior in it. And so as we go through this word, my prayer is that we hear it in the Spirit, that we hear it in the Spirit. This is not coming as commands or a commandment to our flesh, as something for us that we can do. Who of us can do any good? Who of us in this flesh can please God by the works of this flesh? And so it's not a command to your flesh whereby we beat ourselves up and whip ourselves and become discouraged, but rather be encouraged as the Lord reveals the gospel to you and shows you Christ, your Savior, and your salvation in it. So I pray we hear it with understanding as the Lord is growing us and maturing us as believers laboring amongst one another in his body. And what the Lord is showing us and teaching us is that we seek to minister things that are good and profitable unto men. We're looking to minister in things that are good and profitable to one another, because we certainly can be a discouragement to one another. We certainly can cause one another pain and hurt by the things we do or say. Well, in contrast to that, we can also edify and build up one another and show love to one another. And so that's what the Lord is showing us in these passages that are very practical. Paul said over in Titus chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, he's writing to Titus, a pastor over a church there, and he said that being justified by his grace, Titus 3, 7, being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. He's saying there, we've been justified by grace. And it follows, we're sanctified by grace. We're justified by Christ and sanctified by Christ. And he goes on to say in verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So we don't shy away from the practical instructions of Paul. He says, verse 9, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. And so we know that we're not saved by these instructions. We believe Christ. He is our salvation. The Lord's teaching us and growing us and edifying us that we might also be edifying toward one another. And so we don't trust in our ability to hear it. We need grace in everything. We need grace in everything. And just because we speak of what Paul declares practically, it doesn't make us lawmongers or teachers of the law, because we're not saved by the law. We're not led by the law, because he tells us in Galatians, the law is not of faith. The law is not of faith, Galatians 3:12, but the just shall live by his faith, Habakkuk 2:4. So I pray the Lord give us discerning ears. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We're to hear this as believers, you that believe Christ, you whose hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, hear this as believers who have been called of God to life eternal in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear it with a heart that's interested in adorning the gospel of your salvation, adorning the gospel of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our beloved husband. So, as I mentioned, there's 10 verses here, but we're going to focus on verses 1 through 3. That's the first of these five divisions, which is children toward their parents. And we'll look at this word within the context of the gospel. We hear it in the gospel, because this word is written to believers, and therefore we hear this word by the gospel in the light of Christ, who is himself the very word of God to us. He is the word of God to us. So I've titled this instruction for all children. Instruction for all children. And I intend that to mean that it's for every one of us, but especially those children. You'll see, every one of us will see how the Lord is instructing us and blessing us in this word. So Paul begins here with an instruction to believing children. This is to believing children with regards to their parents. And he says, let's read verses 1 through 3 together. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, the children that are spoken of here would primarily be those yet living under their parents' house, under the rule of their parents. But as we saw with husbands and wives, that doesn't mean that this word isn't an instruction to us, even if we're not living with our parents under their roof, under their rule. It's given as a word to the Lord's people for our comfort and our joy. A, it turns our eyes upon Christ. We see how we come short of the glory of God. We see how we're not obedient in anything in this flesh. We're rebellious, and we constantly fight against the revelation of the light of God in Christ. But we behold Christ, who was obedient as a son to his father and accomplished our redemption through his obedience. Christ is glorified in our eyes in this. And second, we see how the Lord is preparing us, especially you children that still live under your parents' house and under their rule, but even to all of us, no matter how old you are, we can see what a blessing this is, how the Lord is preparing us and training us for our labors in and amongst the body, his church, and helping us to be peacemakers rather than be divisive. And that's what we'll see here in this passage. So to hear and receive this word, we begin looking to Christ. We begin looking to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We do well to behold him who, as a son, obeyed his Father in all things and accomplished our redemption, our salvation. And so this is why children, all of us, are to look to Christ always in all things. We see his glory and his wisdom and power. Peter's confession was, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And our Lord answered him and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And so it's the Spirit sent by the Son and the Father who exalts Christ in our hearts, lifting him up, showing him to be all things to us. He's made all things to his children, even our example of faith and obedience to the Father. So I want to begin understanding what Paul is saying by turning over to Philippians chapter 2. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to see a number of verses here in this chapter, so you may want to mark it if you flip around in other places. But we're going to begin in verse 5. Verse 5, and read down through verse 8 at this time. Remember, Paul is saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, in Philippians 2, verse 5, he begins, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so we see here in this passage how Christ obeyed his Father, which was our very redemption, our reconciliation to God. He accomplished our salvation in obeying his Father. He was obedient to lay down his life in order to make the children of promise, those whom God loved and chose for himself to be his people, to give them to his Son, to be his Son's bride. Christ came and laid down his life in order that we would receive the promise and the hope of eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was obedient to the Father in doing this work. And so we are brought to trust in Christ. We are brought to trust the obedience of Christ, the work he did. We trust him. We believe God. We believe that he is our Savior. He is our salvation. What he did accomplished our salvation. The Spirit brings us to receive our Savior, to receive and believe what he did accomplished our very salvation. And we receive it by faith, which he gives to us. And so Jesus Christ, in his obedience, obtained eternal redemption for us. Paul, when writing to the Romans, he said, for by the obedience of one, many were made righteous. He confirms that many were made righteous there in Romans 5:19. And so we see that our Savior, we thank God for his obedience to the Father. Peter speaks of this as well. He says in 1 Peter 1, verse 2, he writes to us, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? He's showing us that the Spirit sanctified the chosen children of God. The Spirit separated us out from among all the others and brought us to behold the obedience of Christ, to behold what he accomplished for us, to behold that he wrought our salvation, our very redemption by his death. That obedience that's spoken of there in verse 2 is Christ's obedience. The Spirit brings us to behold Christ's obedience, and we're sprinkled or covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, beholding our Lord and the many blessings our God gives to us in Christ, I want you to notice how Paul began this in Philippians 2, verse 5. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, so that to you that are believing children, you that are believing children and trusting the Lord, that mind of Christ, it's taught you and all of us, all believers, we're taught the mind of Christ by His Spirit. And the Lord teaches us under the instruction of the gospel. Right? He's teaching us under the instruction of the gospel. But to you believing children, to you that believe, you're hearing this gracious word of the Lord. You're hearing the revelation of the mystery of the gospel being brought forth to you of what Christ, who Christ is and what He accomplished for us. And you hear it while living under the roof and rule of your parents. That's where you first heard that word, under your parents in the Lord. And that's the place and the time where God has chosen to reveal faith in you, to cause you, you that believe, living under your parents' home, that's where the Lord gave you faith. That's where He showed you Christ. That's where He turned. That's where he wrought again, gave you life, born again by the Spirit to behold Christ and to believe Him. It was while you were living under the roof and rule of your parents. And so your mind as a child is being taught this gospel, and you're receiving the instruction of the Lord, and you're hearing and learning what He's teaching all His people through the gospel. And so it follows that the first place where you're going to begin to bear those fruits of righteousness as a believer is there in your house. That's where you're first going to begin to bear those fruits, is in your homes under the rule of your parents, learning humility, learning obedience, according to the unfeigned faith that is in thee. If I was to borrow a phrase that Paul uses with Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5. And so Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. Now, sometimes children, especially teenagers, as we begin to get older, we begin to see ourselves as, at a minimum, at least as equal with our parents. Usually we see ourselves as more intelligent, having more knowledge, a better understanding of how things work, and our parents don't have that typically. But before you push against your parents, right? Before you push against your parents and you begin to demand your rights as an equal and despise them or treat them poorly, remember what we read of Christ here. Remember what we read of Christ, where He says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He's the Son of God. He's fully God, as the Father is God, as the Spirit is God. Christ is the Son, and He's fully God. He's equal with God. But He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. You see that there? Christ, who is fully God, fully God. And children, your people. Your people, just as your parents are people. And we understand that. But under the roof, under the rule of your parents, there's a blessing there. And we see how Christ, who's fully God, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the Father, even unto death, the death of the cross. And so Christ trusted the will of His Father, and your obedience to your parents in the Lord, not in doing evil, if your parents instruct you in evil, but in the Lord, that's trusting the will of God, your Father. You're trusting not them, not in their abilities. You're trusting the will of God, your Father. And so the Lord is teaching us that your Lord, He's sovereign. He's sovereign over all things in heaven and in earth. And He put each child in the household that He put them in. And He gave them parents, the parents that He gave them, and they're teaching you and raising you and instructing you and providing for you, and they're bringing you to hear the gospel and reaffirming those things, trying to reaffirm those things that you're hearing, and that's being done with all their faults, all their limitations, all their failures. But God is sovereign, and He's the Heavenly Father, and He knows exactly what He's doing, and He's the one that put you there, and He didn't make a mistake. He didn't make a mistake. He made you as He made you, and He gave you to the parents that He gave you to, put you in their household, and He caused you to hear the gospel, bringing you to the obedience, to behold the obedience of Christ, who is our salvation, gave you faith to believe Him, and He's instructing you in bringing forth those early fruits. And they're being born there in under that time when you're in the household of your parents. But He didn't make a mistake, but what He's doing is He's teaching us in a manner that's going to help you as you become faithful members in churches as well, in gospel churches, where as more mature believers, as you're growing and you're becoming part of the church, you yourselves, you begin to shoulder hardships and burdens and disappointments with the believers there. You're going through trials and difficulties, all with a variety of believers that God has gathered together in that local body, with all the differences and all the challenges that brings. So trust your Heavenly Father being obedient to His word in the case of your parents, right? Desiring, praying for, seeking the Lord for that mind which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled Himself, seeking Him, right? Let this mind be in you, therefore, which was also in Christ Jesus. And seek that, because one day you're going to be out of the house, maybe going and attending where your parents attend, maybe living in another state and attending a gospel church there, where you labor in that body. But remember this, that what you've learned at home, how the Lord has taught you in instructing you at home and bringing forth these fruits at home, because it's going to be a great help to you when you're learning to submit yourself to your brethren. And I'm taking that where Paul said in Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And we're learning as a body to labor with one another, to work together, to love one another, to strive for the gospel with one another. Now, you may have parents that you would describe as difficult or as unreasonable, but it just may be that one day you're going to find yourself in a body of believers with people that some would describe as difficult and unreasonable, right? You're going to come into that in life, laboring in gospel churches as believers, and we'll need to bear long with them and be patient with one another. And that bearing long with them is going to feel quite familiar to you, because the Lord will have already taught you and brought these experiences where you've labored with your parents and trusted the Lord in hearing what they're saying, being patient and kind as well. And so we learn then these things to be peaceful, to be peacemakers, to labor with one another rather than being divisive with one another, because that's not a good thing, to be divisive in the church. So learn now in your youth or wherever, at whatever point you're hearing this, learn to trust your Father. Learn to trust your Heavenly Father, giving thanks even though He proves His work in your midst, where you suddenly begin to take on hardships and the weight of trials and sufferings and trouble. All right, so it may be, though, that you do have very little friction with your parents, right? Sometimes there are children that seem to get along wonderfully and harmoniously with their parents, but it does seem to me more typical that differences do arise. And that's why Paul said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He's confirming them in walking as believers who are yet under the rule and roof of their parents. And the reality is, as much as we'd like to think that churches are just, you know, there's peace, there's never any problems, there's never any differences of opinions, the reality is that there are trying difficulties that arise in the churches. It happens all the time. It happens in our day. It happens all the way back to when these churches were first being formed, because Paul said many times to them, be of one mind. Be of one mind. For example, if you're there in Ephesians was 1:27, he says there, well, I'll read it. Ephesians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He's saying, remember that, brethren. Flip over to Romans 12. Romans 12, and look at verse 16. Yep. Romans 12, 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Right? He's instructing them. Don't be puffed up and proud and arrogant, because that would happen in some churches, and they'd hear of it, and there would be trouble and problems. Then in 2 Corinthians, and this is just some of them, there's more. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 13, at the end of the book there, verse 11, he said, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And so he wrote this many times. Even Peter in 1 Peter 3:8 says, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Right? He instructs, the apostles are instructing the churches in this, because it's very easy in this flesh to not be of one mind and to look out for oneself. And so go back to Philippians chapter 2 now. In verse 1, this is what Paul is writing about. This is how he started off addressing the church, showing the reality that there's differences. There's differences, and there can be divisions that arise in the church. Verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, or of one mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And so there's much value to be gained in letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, because it'll be profitable to your brethren. Now, as we close this point out, I want to say a few things on verses 2 and 3 in our text. Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3. Let's read it again. He says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So, you that have the Spirit, you'll readily hear the gospel in that word. You'll hear the gospel that the Lord is speaking to his people in this word. Not the law, but the gospel. For we being children of God, by his effectual calling, we hear the promise that he's given to us of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We that believe the Son and honor the Son according to his gift of grace and revealing faith in us, we hear the promise of the Lord. That is, God our Heavenly Father gives his child of promise, the effectual command to believe on Christ. He effectually works in us the hearing ear to believe Christ, to be obedient to him. As Christ was obedient to his Father in obtaining our salvation, so faith in Christ is called obedience. It's called obedience in the Scripture. Turn to Romans 1:5. I want to show you that in a few places in Romans we'll look. Romans 1:5. Paul writes, by Christ, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. In other words, he's saying we're declaring the gospel of reconciliation, the gospel of redemption of God by Jesus Christ to those, to all, and those that are chosen of God, they're obedient unto the faith of Christ. They will have faith wrought in them to believe him. Turn over to Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Right? Faith there being described as obedience. We're being obedient to the Father. And then turn over to Romans 16. Romans 16, where Paul is closing out this book to the Romans. Verse 25. We'll begin. We'll really focus on verse 26. But he says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God. Are you speaking of the great commission to his church to go and preach, making disciples, to teach them, making disciples of Christ? And that's made known to all nations. Why? For the obedience of faith. Because that's how God is pleased to call out his people. It's faith. It's his work of grace in us whereby we believe his salvation. We believe Christ our Savior. All right, so that's the gift of faith that's wrought in us by the Spirit whereby we all believers are made obedient to our heavenly Father to believe on him whom he has sent. And this command is made effectual in us, and it comes with a promise. It comes with a promise, right? We're looking, we're understanding what Paul's writing there in Ephesians 6, 2, and 3, how it comes with promise. And Romans 10, 11, whosoever believeth on him, on Christ, shall not be ashamed. That's a promise. Here's another, Acts 10, 43, through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That's a promise. John 6:40, for this is the will of God that sent Christ, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and Christ will raise him up at the last day. That's a promise. You that are obedient to your Father, right, through faith, the obedience of faith, receive the promise of God to live long. How long? Life eternal. Life everlasting. You have everlasting life who believe on Christ, who are obedient in the faith that God has given to you, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. So after obeying our Heavenly Father in the faith of Christ, that makes every other obedience easy. It makes every other obedience easy looking to him, trusting him, believing him. And it's that we may be good and profitable to men, to our brethren, that we may be edifying to them and laboring with them long, loving them, being peaceful and kind and courteous and pitiful, as Peter said. And so, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So obey your parents, trusting the will of your loving Heavenly Father, because it's profitable to you, It's profitable to them, and it'll be profitable to you later when you labor with brethren in the church. And so I'll close then with what Paul wrote to Timothy, because I think it's relevant here. He says in 1 Timothy 4, in the middle of verse 8 and in verse 9, he says, but godliness, right, living in obedience to the faith that we profess, the hope that we profess by faith, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation. So I pray the Lord bless you to hear his gospel word and how he's instructing his children to believe him, to trust him, and it comes with the promise of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So may he bless that word to your hearts. Amen.